Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kurt Crosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for June 15th in the year of our Lord, 2020. This is our one of two, and the goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. We use the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America, as our guide. We're convinced the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers, one of the great peaceful restorative solutions we have at our fingertips, and we reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Welcome. By the way, we talked on Saturday. We are live 6 days a week, don't you know? LovingLiberty.net is the website for nationally syndicated talk radio, on-demand and archived radio, as well as live. And we talked about a nation under siege with special guest Larry Klayman. No doubt we got a nation under siege, folks, that's for sure. Lawless in Seattle. City literally lets anarchists seize downtown. Armed radicals have taken over six, some say seven blocks. With a, quote, de facto blessing of city officials. They're calling this thing Chaz. It has nothing to do with any legitimate protest, folks. It's a violent gang. It's an absolute hostile power grab. All right? Even the New York Post is admitting that in their op-ed pieces. Okay? This has got to be stopped. Now, President Trump wanting to bring in the military, I don't think that's necessary. You say, well, Sam, what plans do you have if you don't think the military? Well, what about the county sheriff? You say, well, he's not big enough, Sam. Well, yeah, he is. The county sheriff can deputize a posse, a sheriff's posse, and they can deputize and they can take care of business and retired firefighters and retired police officers and even people who are not, quote, active military could take part under the direction and guidance of the sheriff and his deputies. There's a lot of things that could take place, folks. We can even appeal to the, quote, militia. Look, militias, ladies and gentlemen, I know we believe they're wrong today because we don't understand them. And because sometimes militias act without authority. But if the county sheriff literally calls out the militia and says, listen, I need support here, we can do it. We should not let these lawless thugs take over. We also talked about MSNBC anchor Andrea Mitchell. She literally, with a straight face, asked on her show on Friday, are white people capable in large numbers of grieving for the loss of a black child? And I said, of course we are. How dare you even ask the question? How tone deaf are you? Of course we can grieve the loss of any life, but we don't just mourn the loss of the life of someone who's on drugs, who's violently fighting the cops. We mourn their deaths, don't misunderstand me, but we mourn the deaths of all the babies murdered from abortion too, black babies as well. We mourn the deaths of all kinds of suffering people everywhere, right? Whether it's abortions or blacks killing blacks in the hood or Black Lives Matters, of course Black Lives Matter. But I got a question, do Black Lives Matter more than other lives? People of color, they say, sounded the alarm about, quote, facial recognition and aren't getting credit. They say facial recognition is a serious problem. Everyone should listen. It's one of many surveillance issues brought up by black and brown communities, they say. And you need to listen. And my response to that is, people of color aren't getting credit. What about the patriot groups? What about the constitutional groups like me and others who have been alarming about real ID, facial recognition, government tracking and tracing? We were very critical of George Bush when he did this and lied. We've been very critical of it. What about the patriots groups getting credit? Now, by the way, it shouldn't be about credit. It should be about stopping the government. But for some reason, if the patriots talk about it, it's like ignore these whacked out tinfoil hats conspiracy theorists. And now the black people and brown people of the nation bring it up. And it's like, oh, man, why aren't you listening? They've been disenfranchised. Why don't the patriots and the blacks and the brown people and everything, why don't we all get together and stop government? tracing and tracking and monitoring and face recognition and such like that, huh? I've been begging for everybody to join me. By the way, what black or brown leader should I call to create an alliance for solutions, huh? Got any ideas? Because I don't even know who I could call. But I've been working on it for 25 plus years, and I'm not in the black or brown communities, and I've been completely ignored and disenfranchised as well. We talked about Business Insider literally pushed a fake narrative claiming that zero states have started to use contact tracing technology, ladies and gentlemen. But you know what? Liberty Counsel instantly knew from their research that that's bogus. It isn't true at all. We need to hold these fake news outlets accountable. Liberty Counsel action pushed past the talking points and got the truth directly from the developer of North Dakota's COVID-19 app called Care19. You ready to hear the truth? There are 10 states that are either currently using contact tracing applications by Apple or Google, or under contract to start doing so very shortly. This is a stunning unconstitutional breach of privacy, folks. I'm telling you what. Now, our nation is literally at a crossroads. Our privacy is being invaded at a level unimaginable to our founding fathers. The question is, will we accept it or fight it? We are facing outright lies in the media about what is happening with contact tracing. Right now, the privacy of over 50 million Americans is under direct attack, and many more are under surveillance. We talked about that in great detail on Saturday. I've warned about the Real ID. Now we already have it. I've warned about this contact tracing. It's getting worse by the second. All in the name of supposedly taking care of us. Do you trust them? I, for one, do not. All right, that's a recap. Without further ado, Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org. Welcome back to Liberty Roundtable Live, sir.
Oh, good to be back, gentlemen. Thank you.
You're very welcome. Black Lives Matter in the news, big time. And, you know, I got a question for you. Don't give me a long answer. Just answer the questions. I want to demonstrate something, Lowell. Do Black Lives Matter?
Sure.
Of course they do. Do Black Lives Matter more than other lives?
No.
No, and that's really the point. When Black lives are in jeopardy, we care. When white lives are in jeopardy, we care. When patriots' lives are in jeopardy, we care. In fact, when the MIAC report came out some years ago in Missouri saying that, hey, if you're a Ron Paul supporter, you know, you're dangerous. And hey, then, you know, Ron Paul's supporters' lives matter. All lives matter. And they say that it's offensive when we say that. But I say to you that we need to keep things in perspective. But Black Lives Matter literally wants a special seat at the table. And this is why I push against this. If black lives don't matter more than other lives, I don't know why we would let Black Lives Matter have a special seat at your government school, Lowell.
Well, I totally agree, Sam. Yeah, I mean, all lives matter. And just by, you know, preparing or setting aside a special seat for one particular group, we're saying that somehow they matter more, right? I mean, we're saying that they're so, I mean, it's kind of a slap in the face to them, too, by the way, because when you set aside a special seat for somebody, they should be offended at that they're so weak or non-important enough to deserve a special seat, right? I mean, when you were in school, Sam, you didn't like it when the teacher gave you special treatment, but you wanted to be treated like everybody else. I guarantee it. You wanted to be, you know, you didn't want any special treatment, right? I mean, wasn't it offensive to you when, you know, if a teacher came along and said, okay, well, Sam here, you know, you know, we need to treat him different. We need to treat him special because, you know, he's not competent enough to, like, handle math on his own, right?
Yeah, what I would say often is I'd just say, listen, why don't we just treat me normal, and if I need extra assistance or help, we can talk about it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and so, yeah, that's the real principle here. We've slapped him in the face with affirmative action, you know, for decades. We've slapped him in the face because, you know, everybody thinks they need reparations. We've slapped in the face over and over again. If we would simply treat them the way way the framers wanted us to treat all mankind, and that was with equal justice before the law, equal opportunity in the land. I mean, then we wouldn't need all these special groups. Anyway, that was kind of a tangent, Sam, but kind of how I feel about things now.
Well, it's important when you realize you're getting a special seat, special privilege, though, with your children as a captive audience, sir.
Wow. And that's what's happening here, folks. The BLM, which really stands for Burn, Loot, and Murder, they want to introduce their ideas into schools, public schools. And in light of the violence over the past couple of weeks, I thought it would be really important for us to recognize that BLM is not just hitting the streets. They are hitting the schools, too. There's a national organization, Sam, I didn't know about this until reading this article in the newamerican.com, but it's called Black Lives Matter at School. So now we've got, not only do we have burn, loot, and murder in the streets, but we have burn, loot, and murder in the schools. They seek to inject BLM's guiding principles into school curriculums throughout the country. Now, what are their guiding principles, you may ask? We'll find out right after this this break coming up, Sam.
Liberty Roundtable Live, ladies and gentlemen. There's no broadcast like it. Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org. Kurt Crosby, yours truly on your radio.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Talk Right, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. Talk Right makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download Talk Right today from Google Play or the App Store.
Do we reflect about our future and where we as a culture are moving? Do we keep our trust in our jobs, homes, money, life necessities, investments, stock markets? Do we believe that our 401ks or other retirements will always be there and that the current economic order will recover? Is the economy going to recover and life return to normal? It ain't gonna happen. By a friend of Medjugorje, whether you are poor, middle class, or rich, It Ain't Gonna Happen, a book of astounding revelations about the present economic order and where we are heading. It Ain't Gonna Happen by a friend of Medjugorje. To order, visit Medj.com, spelled M-E-J.com, or call Caritas in the U.S., 205-672-2000, 205-672-2000.
All right, back to Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org. This is serious business. Do black lives matter more than other lives? All right, black lives do matter, yes, but I don't know that they matter more than every other life. But BLM wants to get into your government school. Here's what they plan to teach. NewAmerican.com. The NewAmerican.com has the details, Lowell.
The guiding principles of Black Lives Matter at School, there were 13 statements of principle on their website. I picked just a couple of them to give you a flavor of the principles they want to inject into the curriculum in public schools throughout the country. Quote, we disrupt the Western prescribed nuclear family structure requirement by supporting each other as extended families and villages that collectively care for one another, especially our children, to the degree that mothers, parents, and children are comfortable. End of quote. Nowhere, Sam, in that statement are fathers mentioned. They want to destroy the traditional family. In other words, and they want to let children be raised by the state, you know, or by the village. The Hillary Clinton idea that our children are raised by a village, right? Basically, it's doublespeak for letting children be raised by the state, you know, custody of the state or DCFS or foster care and other ways. Any you know, ways to break up the traditional nuclear family, that's what they stand for. Here, BLMS wants that in our public schools. They want that taught. Here's another statement. Quote, we foster a queer-affirming network. When we gather, we do so with the intention of freeing ourselves from the tight grip of heteronormative thinking, or rather, the belief that all in the world are heterosexual. End of quote. You know, you just can't make this stuff up, Sam. Obviously, here they're saying, well, you know, we want to promote gay sexuality. And this idea that, you know, in fact, let's take a little aside here, Sam. There's no way that a person can change their gender no matter how hard they try, no matter what behavior they change. The chromosomes...
Yeah, this is a scientific, undebated reality.
Yeah.
Or undisputed, I should say. It's debated, I guess.
In their cells will still be, you know, XX if they're female. They'll still be X and Y if they're male. And that is indisputable. It's unmutable, meaning can't be mutated, can't be changed. It's impossible to change the gender of a mammal once that mammal is born. And yet these groups like this that want to change that simply by changing the behavior of a person or by, you know, changing the hormones that are given to a person so that they can change the behavior and the look of or the form and the features of some mammal, you know, their children, then they're just barking up the wrong tree. It can't, they you know, that you can change the behavior, but you cannot change the underlying chromosomal composition of the person. And that's why this is so, in my opinion, so stupid to be advocating for changing one's gender. It just can't be done. And it's stupid for public servants to think that they can allow people to change their gender on their birth certificates or their driver's licenses or whatever. That was kind of an aside, Sam, but anyway, BLMS, this is one of their 13 principles, guiding principles that they want to inject into public schools around the country.
Basically, destroy the traditional family, replace it with a gang, reject God-ordained one man, one woman, traditional marriage, replace it with all kinds of perverted sex, and they're just getting started, ladies and gentlemen. Greg from Utah wants to chime in. Hi, Greg.
Hello, Sam. How you doing? Hello. Hello, Lowell. And Kurt. Hello. Anyway.
Good morning, like Greg. Good to have you.
Great. Thank you. I'd like to make a comment about the communist insurrection over the past week. So the rioting and the pillaging and the mayhem and destruction that we have witnessed throughout the United States, is a communist orchestrated insurrection financed by the Communist Party USA. And I mentioned before, Antifa, Black Lives Matter, the Democratic Socialists of America, along with the World Workers' Party, the Revolutionary Communist Party, and the Party for Socialism and Liberation were all involved in these protests. And again, these are communist organizations. People have to know that. And their objective is to destroy America, to destroy the Constitution. And these are Marxist-Leninist groups and their allegiance is to Russia and China and Iran and North Korea and what have you. So these groups pose a great threat or imminent threat or whatever to America. And the other thing is Trevor Loudon, who wrote a book entitled The Enemies Within, he was able to identify at least 70 representatives in the House and also 20 in the Senate who are known communists. They're affiliated with communist parties. They receive their support from communist parties. So we have communism above and communism below. And so these groups pose a great danger to our livelihood, and the public has to be aware of this. And Keith Ellison, who was the attorney general in Minnesota, he upgraded the charges against the police officer to second-degree murder. And that's a concern, because now the jury has to prove that he had the intent to kill the Floyd. And so that's going to be difficult to prove. So therefore, it's a likely possibility that the jury is going to find him not guilty based on those charges. And now we're going to, you thought that this revolution that we saw last week was something that will pale in comparison to what we're going to experience if he is set free.
Well, your point's well taken. There's communists and fascists and, socialists and anarchists and whatever that you got to worry about. And there's certainly a concern in America as they riot and pillage and plunder and destroy property, public and private. And, I mean, they're out of control. But, you know, it's hard to know if that's a bigger concern or if the government's tyrannical moves in light of COVID and in light of the rioting, you know, bringing in the military and eventually possibly violating posse comitatus and more. It's hard to know which is the greater threat about this. In fact, Judge Napolitano even wrote an article about this. Lowell, let's highlight that and have Greg respond.
Excellent. Right. Okay. Judge Napolitano posted this column at 10thAmendmentCenter.com entitled, A Knee on Our Throats. Today, he says, we are the government prisoners. Wear your mask. Stay at home. Don't go to work. Don't open your business. Don't go to church. And for heaven's sake, don't gather in any group larger than 25 people unless it is to speak words of which the government approves. The stated purpose of the lockdown is to shield us from infection, but this raises very serious questions about our relationship to government. We never authorized the government to shield us from infection. We never authorized it to lock us down. We never authorized the police to enforce anything other than legislative enacted statutes. We never authorized the police to murder confined prisoners. Here in New Jersey, he says, the police are handing out summonses that look like parking tickets in the place where they're supposed to write the statute that the recipient has allegedly violated. They have written, quote, violation of governor's executive order, end of quote. This is madness, he writes. Crimes consist only of behavior properly condemned in writing by a popularly elected representative body. It is not a crime to refuse to comply with the paternalistic wishes of one person. End of quote. Greg, Sam, what do you think about
that? Well, he further asks this. Where is the sheriff, the chief law enforcement officer of the county? How much longer will free people tolerate this? And what's happening is if I have an infraction that relates to the COVID or anything like that, then they literally attack me, shut me down, arrest me, do whatever, fine me, et cetera, et cetera. But if I participate in a riot where they're literally destroying public and private property, destroying businesses, harming people or whatever else, because it's on the altar of, quote, payback for racism, if you will, or, you know, whatever you want to say, the ends justify the means, then somehow it's dismissed as, well, they're just operating in Chaz in Seattle. It's just like a party atmosphere. Don't worry about any of that. And I mean, it is a two-sided, dishonest coin we're dealing with here that has become so apparent to patriotic people. It is shocking. But I'm not sure who to be more scared of, the thugs in the streets or the government that protects and enables them. When we get back, let's have Greg respond. Stay there, Greg, then we'll let you fly. I want to get Kurt to chime in on that real quick as well. You are listening to the one and only Liberty Roundtable Live. Who brings up these points? Do Black Lives Matter? Of course they do. Do Black Lives Matter than more than any other lives? Of course they do not. Liberty Roundtable Live.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
A medical examiner has ruled the police shooting of a black suspect who allegedly scuffled with Atlanta cops on Friday night a homicide, saying an autopsy finds he died of blood loss from two gunshot wounds. Police say Rayshard Brooks resisted arrest and tried to take an officer's taser after he was found passed out behind the wheel of a car in a Wendy's drive-thru. It's reignited protests that began 3 weeks ago when George Floyd was killed while in police custody in Minneapolis. Leading Democrats on Capitol Hill say both killings underline the need for law enforcement changes. Republican Senator James Lankford of Oklahoma says his party is also crafting a police reform package.
We've been gathering ideas from all across our conference, across the nation, calling police chiefs. I've been on the phone with a lot of police chiefs. I've been on the phone talking to a lot of activists and other folks to be able to interact.
USA Radio News.
Balance of nature changing the world, one life at a time.
I have seen a change in how I feel. I do feel better. I actually feel like doing stuff, if that makes any sense. It's just a better feeling just throughout my whole body.
Right now, Balance of Nature is offering free shipping and 35% off on any new preferred order. Go to balanceofnature.com today and use discount code USA.
While you have free time and you're sitting at home and you ponder what kind of gifts to buy for someone, PatriotDepot.com has you covered, from puzzles, games, novelty items. If you're looking for some unique style items when it comes to the president, for more, you can check out PatriotDepot.com. Call 844-377-8052. That's 844-377-8052 or PatriotDepot.com. Use promo code USA.
GOP lawmakers in the Iowa House and Senate have added a new restriction to that state's abortion law. It requires women to wait 24 hours after their first appointment to consider getting an abortion. Women would also be made to look at an ultrasound and get adoption information before they could go through with an abortion. President Trump is back in Washington, D.C. after celebrating his 74th birthday yesterday with his family at his Bedminster, New Jersey golf club. The White House giving no details on exactly how the president celebrated his birthday, but there are reports he played some golf while he was at the resort. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo and Chinese government reportedly to meet in Hawaii soon. The expected meeting would happen as tensions continue to grow between the U.S. and China over a myriad of issues, including the coronavirus and its origination. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
All right, do Black Lives Matter? Of course they do. Do Black Lives Matter more than other lives? Of course they do not. Do other lives matter more than Black Lives? Of course they do not. Welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live, ladies and gentlemen. Greg, Utah, was chiming in here. Judge Napolitano wrote an incredible article, A Knee on Our Throats. Andrew Napolitano, I'm not sure who to be more worried about, the thugs of the streets or the government that seems to have their blessing, if you will. Greg?
Yes, so Sam, you referred to the protesters as thugs. I would call them hardcore Marxist-Leninist revolutionaries. That's what they are.
Now here's the problem. Yep. There are peaceful people who mean well who are there. There's also the hardcore thugs you speak of that have literally co-opted the well-meaning peaceful protesters into their cause. The point is, we need to separate and know who's who, right?
Yeah, well, the rioters and the looters, they're the revolutionaries.
So agreed.
I know there's peaceful protests, but there's others who have co-opted the demonstration, and they're resorting to violence and even murder. And so we have to call it what it is. They're hardcore revolutionaries. The other thing is, the communists have been infiltrating our government for over 100 years. And if you look at our foreign policy, it's been an unmitigated disaster. Our government has done everything within its power over the last 70 years to promote and advance communism, with the exception of Grenada under Reagan in the 80s. And so you look at all the countries that have fallen to communism since the 1950s, or even going back to World War II, after World War II, our government has help the communists take over country after country after country, like Cuba, Nicaragua, Iran, Eastern Europe, Asia, and the list goes on and on and on. So this is not by accident, it's by design. So my opinion is this, that the communists have taken over the federal government. You, if you look at our domestic policy, we've been promoting socialism, especially since the Roosevelt administration. And so if you understand communist strategy, we have pressure from above and pressure from below. Our government is pro-communist, and we have these revolutionary groups, who are promoting communism. So it's called the pincer strategy. So we're in the middle of it. We have to be aware that our government is pro-communist, and I wrote a book, and I'm hoping to have it published in the fall, and it's entitled The United States and the Rise of Communism, and I meticulously document how our government has been helping the communists for the last 70 or 80 years. And so that's what we're up against. These things don't occur by accident. They don't happen by accident. It's all planned and orchestrated and designed, and we have to be aware of that because I fear the government more so than the rioters and the looters. But all the policies of our government are involved in the takeaway of our constitutional rights. Everything that they propose is violates the Constitution with impunity, and so we have to be aware of that. And they know what they're doing. And they're trying to convince the people that, you know, we need all these regulations and controls, and we have to, you know, they're spying on us now with the NSA and now all these other things they're coming up with. It's all a way to control and manipulate the people, and they're going to jam it down our throats if they have to. But this is all communist strategy and communist propaganda. And I just feel we have to know what we're up against, and I feel that that, you know, it's a long road ahead, but if we can expose expose these groups and organizations, perhaps people will push back, and we can prevail against the onslaught of these communist terrorists.
Understood. Thank you so much, Greg. Lowell, you want to respond?
No, he's spot on. Just wanted to give Kurt a chance to respond.
Kurt?
Well, the insiders, basically the bad guys have been working hard to take over from the good guys for a long time. There's, different things to call them, but, the guys who want to steal freedoms and take away your liberties, hey, they work really hard on a continual basis. Guys like Greg and Lowell and Sam work really hard on a continual basis to promote freedom and liberty and that kind of thing, and that's the kind of thing that each of us ought to do as well.
Yeah, when we talk about government thugs, we are the government's prisoners, etc., as Judge Napolitano points out. When we talk about a knee on our throats, Napolitano again. When we talk about Black Lives Matters wants to control your government schools and, you know, destroy the family, etc., etc. You know, when the cops are too heavy-handed, they've received all kinds of military gear for decades. On one hand, we say they've had de-escalation training. On the other hand, we've given them military hardware big time. We've also done something else over the years that is basically, seriously, part of the problem. It's called qualified immunity. And you got to understand how the courts gave us qualified immunity. In fact, Mike Meharia, the 10th Amendment Center, documents this well, Lowell.
Thank you, Sam. He explained the genesis of qualified immunity there on the 10thAmendmentCenter.com. I learned some things, Sam, that I did not know before. This qualified immunity, it's a legal doctrine that shields cops from liability for actions taken in the line of duty unless they violate rights clearly established by existing judicial precedent. No statute exists granting qualified immunity. It evolved over time based on a series of Supreme Court cases. Now, I had always heard about qualified immunity, but I didn't really know its origin. So that's why I thought this article was so helpful. And I think it's so helpful for us to understand where it came from, because when you think about it, it actually was born, it was well-intentioned, I suppose you might say, from in the very very beginning.
Yeah, the general idea is, hey, if I'm a police officer, don't hold me liable for everything that I do. Remember, I've got kind of conflicting realities. Okay, I don't have the authority as an individual to violate anybody's rights. Do I get special you know, responsibility and obligation as a police officer. And if I do, then you know what? You need to protect me in that special circumstance. You know what? That in general has some justification for the point. The question is, when have we gone too far? And I think that's really what we're talking about, right?
Exactly right. When you think about the way things were in the 1870s and 80s and so forth, it was next to impossible for an African-American to get a fair shake in a state court. And therefore, government officials like mayors and police and so forth, could abuse the rights of an African-American with virtual impunity. I mean, they could just simply abuse their rights. They could throw them in jail. They could cuff them around. They could take their property. And there was no repercussion for that. Zero, right? Because of who they were and, I mean, because of who the public servant was, because of his position of authority and the relative position of the African-American at that time in our country. And when you think about it, again, the principle here is that you've got a member of law enforcement who is making an arrest, right? He arrests you, Sam, for something that you've allegedly done, and then you get found out innocent. A jury of your peers cannot find you guilty of that charge, and so now comes the question: can you sue the police officer for making the arrest, right? And that's where qualified immunity has a place at the table, because we can't allow that, because then, you know, we'd never have any arrest, even though a police officer has a probable cause to make an arrest because a crime has been committed. If he is afraid that he's going to face a civil lawsuit for making that arrest simply because you might later be found innocent by a jury, he will never make the arrest. And so then he's derelict in his duty to arrest, to enforce the law, because he's afraid for his own life, his own livelihood, because of a lawsuit. And so that's kind of the origin of the concept. And you're exactly right, Sam. Where do you draw the line? It's a hard line to draw, but I think you and I understand where it should be drawn, but getting the government to understand where that line should be drawn is another matter. It took over 100 years, really, for immunity defense. This concept of qualified immunity as a shield against police officers took well over 100 years for it to become what it is today. And in other words, immunity defenses were built on a case-by-case basis, not on a federal court precedent. But in 19... 19-
well, and let's be clear, case-by-case basis... And this immunity needs to be taken into account not by judges, not by court case precedent, not by a series of, I don't know what you want to call it, cases together over precedent that create this, quote, litmus test they put together. It should be based on a jury of peers. It should be based on people looking at the law as well and going, when is this justified? When is this not and why? What are the circumstances in the case? Et cetera, et cetera. And oftentimes, I think common sense juries will say, look, I know this happened, but it's not as you see. We know the details behind the scenes. And, okay, that's what we need in America. And we've circumvented that by judges deciding case precedent, not reality. Let's talk about the litmus test they require, shall we?
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better have a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
Hey, listen up. This is a deep state alert. Former Texas Congressman Steve Stockman, who moved to arrest Lois Lerner for contempt of Congress, has been imprisoned by the very office that Lerner led. You heard right. Stockman hit the Obama administration hard, and they hit back with the full force of the federal government. The guy who said he wanted Mark Levin as Speaker of the House was the first to threaten Obama's impeachment, exposed Hillary selling steel to the Iranians, and blocked both Obama's immigration and gun bills from even reaching the House. But Obama holdovers came after him in federal court with trumped-up charges and have locked our guy up. Like many others, he was on Obama's hit list. Steve fought for us in Congress. Now we need to fight for him. Don't abandon this wounded hero on the battlefield. Let's help cover his massive legal costs. To chip in $5 or more, text the word FIGHT to 444-999. That's FIGHT, F-I-G-H-T, to 444-999, or go to defendapatriot.com. That's defendapatriot.com.
All right, they literally put together kind of a three-step litmus test, if you will, and they've circumvented juries, and they've just stuck to case, court case precedents on this kind of stuff. Lowell, I have a problem with the whole narrative here.
Well, I do too, Sam, absolutely. And if you think about, the point is that a legislative body did not decide this precedent. Basically, the court came up with a three-section litmus test, three parts. Number one, the use of force is unreasonable. That's the first part. And then the second part is clearly established that this kind of force and this kind of circumstance is unconstitutional. That's the second part. The third part is that excessive force was used under the Fourth Amendment, where rights are involved, not under the Due Process Clause of the 14th Amendment, where privileges and immunities are discussed. Now, this second part, this clearly established doctrine, that is the troublesome part of this litmus test, because it erects an almost insurmountable hurdle for anyone who tries to prove excessive force or the deprivation of rights. This is the point that Michael Meharry brings out. He says a given situation is rarely exactly like any other. There will always be sufficient distinguishing facts to decide that there was no clearly established law. And so it's almost impossible, Sam, under this particular litmus test, to prove deprivation of rights or excessive force, believe it or not. It's almost impossible, Sam, to prove excessive force under this litmus test, because there's no way you can clearly establish the unconstitutionality of a specific act in a specific circumstance, because they vary so much from,
that's a huge barrier. But put the third one in place now.
I'm sorry?
Put the third one in place.
Oh, and the third one is this, determining the deprivation of rights under the Fourth Amendment, not the 14th Amendment. And that one, I need to study and understand a little bit more, Sam. I'm not sure the implications of that.
Well, the implications are that we really should keep the Fourth Amendment. We should jettison the 14th, because really the Fourth kind of legitimately takes care of all of it. The 14th was kind of a racial manipulated, backdoor discussion, but it redefines who we really are. I mean, it goes on and on. It's complicated. Nevertheless, the point that I'm getting at is by the time you put these three-step litmus details in place, you've circumvented grand juries. You've circumvented fully informed juries and juries of peers. You've circumvented the due process for any individual that's up against a police officer. And you've literally given the untouchable status to a police officer, wrongfully so. And so, there's problems with this whole precedent that we have going. I get the general point, but it should be fairly easy for juries to decide looking at all the facts. And that's one of the key points to due process we're simply leaving out of this equation, Lowell.
That's a great point, Sam. Where this law ought to be crafted, where it should have been made, is in a deliberative body in the state where you live. That's where, police powers belong to the state, the state legislature should decide that qualified immunity means this and this and this, and here are the anything outside of that, you know, the police officer or the public official, the mayor, you know, whoever, knows that it's outside the bounds and he can be sued civilly for abuse of power.
And what they have right now is they have governors and mayors basically outlawing chokeholds right now. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you would say, well, Sam, that's good, right? No, it's not good. No, it's not good. You want to know why? Because the executor, or executive branch, the mayor, the governor, the president, they don't have authority to outlaw anything. Okay, if you're going to outlaw it, then the legislative body needs to come together and decide what they're going to do. I think we ought to really back away from a lot of this, quote, qualified immunity. And I don't think we need to stop chokeholds. You can say, well, Sam, they're deadly. They're bad. They're well, only in the hands of the wrong people, sure, but they're a necessary tool in certain cases as well. How do you do this fine line? And I think the immunity reality is where the discussions need to happen, but that needs to be visited by the legislative bodies, not by an edict from a mayor or a governor or somebody else. See, we've got the checks and balances all wrong, Lol.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, Sam. Totally agree. And that's the point of this column, that the courts are the ones that legislated this reality, not the deliberative legislative assembly, who are representatives of the people. Sam?
All right, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Now, I know this Black Lives Matter discussion, these rioting in the streets discussions, these yanking down of all of our relics in history and et cetera, violating of private property. I mean, we go on and on and on and on. A lot of this stems, believe it or not, they claim from the Civil War. And you got to ask yourself, which side committed treason in the Civil War, the North or the South? Thomas DiLorenzo literally highlights the details of this in a column, and he starts out by talking about the Lincoln Project, Lowell.
The Lincoln Project appears to be further deification of President Abraham Lincoln and the castigation of President Donald Trump. This group put together a television ad recently that made the following legal argument. Number one, the Southern Confederates were traitors. Number two, people with Confederate flags attend Trump rallies. Number three, therefore, Donald Trump encourages treason. Can you follow that? That is twisted logic. If the Southern states were traitors, that's what they said. It's not true, but that's what they claim. Southern Confederate states were traitors. People with Confederate flags attended Trump rallies, and therefore, Donald Trump encourages treason. Right? That was the ad, the television ad from the Lincoln Project. And it's wrong, absolutely wrong. The truth is exactly opposite of what this ad portrays. And, you know, for those who understand history and who understand the U.S. Constitution, we have to ask ourselves, what is treason? Now, this was the first time last night, Sam, I actually reread the definition of treason. Here it is, Article 3, Section 3 of the U.S. Constitution defines treason as follows. Quote, treason against the United States shall consist only in levying war against them or in adhering to their enemies, giving them aid and comfort, end of quote. Notice that treason is not defined as levying war against it, meaning the Union, or in adhering to its enemies. It says that treason shall consist in the levying war against them, meaning one or more states of the Union. That is the definition of treason. I thought that was fascinating, Sam.
Now, I think it's fascinating, but let's be very careful to understand that, you know, I don't think that the 10-mile square can be attacked either, because what you attack in treason when it comes to the federal is you attack the Constitution and the principles that embody that Constitution. You don't necessarily attack the 10-mile square per se. If you attack one of the states and or the principles codified in the Constitution, then it can become treasonous because it amounts to insurrections or overthrow of the government or a betrayal thereof. And so I think we're talking about principles and we're talking about states as individual sovereigns. But the unifying sovereign is codified by the Constitution itself. I think that's really important to understand. Because if you're not careful, you believe that the federal government just controls and is over all, which is not the truth.
Exactly. The states have far more power, or should have far more power and authority than the general government. That's embodied in the 9th and 10th Amendments to the Constitution. They set forth plainly this notion that the general government had certain specific not in the Constitution, that also, that authority belongs to the people. Only the things written into the U.S. Constitution and, you know, specifically enumerated by written out, those were the things that the general government had responsibility for, and not the other way around. States are not political subdivisions of the general government, even though a lot of people think that nowadays. So this article by Thomas DiLorenzo, you know, very short, five paragraphs, and in it he says this. He says, quote, in other words, when Lincoln ordered the first 75,000-man invasion of the southern states, he and his political associates committed treason as defined by the Constitution, right? He and the Republican Party have done everything possible to cover this up and pull the wool over the public's eyes for generations. He started this subterfuge by unilaterally redefining treason to mean any criticism of himself or of his administration's policy. That is how he justified his legal suppression of habeas corpus and the arrest by military forces and imprisonment without due process thousands of northern political dissenters, including mayors, a member of Congress, state legislators, newspaper editors, and so forth.
And we bring this up now because we need to make sure we don't let the bad parts of history repeat themselves due to our ignorance, sir.
Exactly right. Of course, this is the type of tyranny against which President George Washington warned in his farewell address when he said that if the Constitution is to be amended, let it be done through the amendment process, you know, through ratification of an amendment, not by usurpation. And in other words, this Thomas DiLorenzo is saying that Lincoln did by usurpation what could have been done legislatively, but shouldn't, but certainly should not have been done by executive fiat. And you know exactly what our mayors and governors are doing today by fiat, declaring certain things to be illegal, unlawful, is what Lincoln did when he redefined treason as criticism of himself, right, and his administration. So that's the essence of his...
The point, ladies and gentlemen, remember there are checks and balances for a reason, and I know we, in modern times, violate those checks and balances all the time, and we think it's justifiable, but the fact is it's not. The Constitution is still the supreme law of the land, and it creates horizontal and vertical checks and balances that we need to insist on. And if we insist on them, it's the way to claw back tyranny and a way to bring back the sacred cause of liberty. And what we can't do is fall for the lie that the emergency always justifies a circumvention. Oh, as soon as things get back to normal, we will apply these principles again, but right now we can't, Sam. We got an emergency. And my response is these principles are designed more for emergencies than they are times of peace. When there's times of peace, there's no need, right? We're living fine. It's when the crisis comes, the crisis of the day, as the good Sheriff Richard Mack puts it, it's the crisis of the day that makes us want to circumvent these principles, but it is our demise when we do so. We lose liberty every single time. The reality is we need to insist on the checks and balances, and they're needed the most when the biggest crisis comes along. That's when we need to insist on them the most. Lowell, final words yours, sir.
Just like qualified immunity grew out of judicial opinion, that was wrong. I mean, the idea was good, it was helpful, but it should have come from a legislative body, and yet what we have today is judicial fiat legislation, and that's the reason we have runaway qualified immunities today, Sam.
Checks and balances, ladies and gentlemen, they are a brilliant doctrine. Learn about them and insist on them, and the more people that do that, the greater our chances of protecting the greatest country on the face of the earth will be. We stand for the sacred cause of freedom. We go back to the founding fathers to get our guidance. We then move forward in modern times and apply these principles that will keep America great. For Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org, for lovingliberty.net, and Sam and Kurt, God save the Republic.